It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 305, entitled Subscribe to the Pool Party. It was recorded on Monday, the 12th of August, 2024. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and today I'm joined by my co-host Michelle Frechette, and also by Pete Chineri and Steve Burge. It is, of course, a WordPress podcast, so what are we going to talk about? Well, WordPress. The first thing up is the rescheduling of WordCamp in Netherlands. Why has that happened, and what are the reasons that we can make it not happen in the future? There's also an option in the future, hopefully, for WordPress events to have a small but hopefully meaningful advertising budget. We also get into a couple of articles by Patricia, who featured me on her brand new podcast, but also as she explains why it is that she needs sponsorship for future attendance at WordPress events and why that might be a useful model for everybody across the community. We also get into WordPress Accessibility Day and their keynote speaker. We've got some new events coming up, WordPress Developer Hours, a couple of new things going on there. Playground is now going to be able to persist after you close down the browser. That's really interesting. And then we've got a couple of bits about AI, especially on WordPress.com. It's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. And by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And by OmniSend. Do you sell your stuff online? Then meet OmniSend. Yes, that OmniSend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make 73 bucks for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try OmniSend today at omnisend.com. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you are in the world. It is This Week in WordPress. It's number 305. In the UK, we're in full school holiday mode. And so there are children everywhere in this place. And I have to sort of like lock myself away and shut doors and ask people to be quiet. And I don't know what it's like where you are. Maybe the school holidays are finished, but the heat is on in the UK. And this is a new feature in my life. I have a fan. And occasionally I'm going to have to put this fan on because it is actually warm in the UK, which is, you know, it's happened once in my lifetime. And it's today. So if this comes on, my T-shirt starts to blow around like that.
Well now.
You know what's going on. And if the mic noise gets a bit like, then you know what's going on. But happy to have you all with us. It is, like I said, number 305, joined by three fabulous guests. Let's firstly start over there with Michelle Frechette. And I'll be very careful to get this right. Michelle joins us so frequently that she's been classified as a co-host. And very pleased that that's the case. And yeah, thank you for joining us once more, Michelle. How are you doing?
My pleasure. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, really nice. Michelle has the biography as follows. And I think we figured out where my errors were coming from now.
I
put it in a certain place and now you know where to update it. So I don't know if this is
next.
Okay, hopefully this is the new updated accurate version of Michelle's introduction. Here we go. Michelle Frechette is the Director of Community Engagement for Stella WP at Liquid Web. In addition to her work at Stella WP, Michelle is the podcast barista over at WPCoffeeTalk.com, co-founder of Underrepresented in Tech.com, creator of WPSpeakers.com and also WPCareerPages.com. She is also the executive director at PostStatus.com, co-host of WP Motivate, which is a podcast, host of the WP Constellations podcast. It's incredible. Author and frequent organizer and speaker at WordPress events. She lives outside Rochester, New York, where she's an avid nature photographer. And the final URL, actually not the final URL. We've got a new one, which we'll talk about later. But that's for later. The final one for now is Meet Michelle Online, which I guess is more your personal stuff, right?
It is. It's like my Linktree. I decided I wasn't giving money to Linktree and letting them have all of my traffic. So I created my own with Cadence.
You did just right. That's what WordPress is all about, isn't it? Yeah, that's lovely. Exactly. Anyway, thank you many, many times over for joining us. Let's go round in a sort of clockwise direction, which takes me there, which is Peacha Neri. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you very much. I've stopped counting the degrees here where I am in Spain, Nathan.
Oh, shush. No,
Patricia says 30 degrees in Switzerland, but I've stopped counting.
I think it's kind of akin to that here. I think we might be in the high 20s, but bearing in mind, you know,
the high 20s.
We're not used to this.
Wow.
We're not used to this. Nothing's set up. Nobody has aircon, right? There's no switch you can
switch. Of course.
Switch.
Yeah. And I think we're probably high 30s here.
Yeah.
I'm on a roof. So.
Yeah. Now you're making me feel bad. but there you go. I'm going to complain about the heat a lot.
It's only 18 here. So
you all have
it worse than us
today. Yeah, you see. We'll get to the comments in a moment. But Peach is joining us, obviously, from Spain, and I'll read out the biography. Here we go. Peacha Neri is a UX and accessible design lead, consultant, and speaker, empowering digital product owners to win on the web. I like that phrase.
Thank you.
Empowering digital owners to win on the web by putting users at the center. She loves educating product managers, designers, and developers on the best UI and UX plus accessibility practices via workshops, courses, and talks in three languages.
That's showing off. I don't know why I said that.
I'm going to have to take it out.
It's showing off.
All right. Own it.
Yeah, exactly. If you can do it, own it. Yeah. Peach's current main focus is on balancing creativity and accessibility without sacrificing either. Let me guess what your three languages are, right? I mean, obviously, one of them's going to be English. The other one's going to be Spanish. I'm going to guess Italian.
But I mean, really, have you got ESP? I mean, amazing.
I know. I'm so good.
What with me being Italian? Incredible powers.
I know.
I need to add
to my biography, clairvoyant tendencies.
Yeah, nice to meet me.
Okay, so we've had one from across the pond. We've had another one in Europe. We're back across the pond, although his accent makes you believe that he might be in Europe because it's Steve Burge, who's originally from the UK and he's flown the nest and he's over in the US. Where are you in the US, Steve?
Florida. It's like the South of Spain.
Yeah, okay. So it's hot there, I'm guessing, as well. Honestly, I wish I'd never opened my mouth about the heat now.
Where in Florida, though?
Just south of Tampa.
Okay. Okay.
And it's just like the south of Spain in that it's full of British people here.
Is that right?
You are one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So are there lots of like fish and chip places and stuff like that? Yeah. Oh, really?
I've lived in a bunch of places in the US and people always say, oh, you're the Brit. And it's kind of unique in most places in the US, but down here in Florida, the British people are everywhere. They grew up like you and me, Nathan. They grew up in like 10-degree weather.
Yep.
And they flee to the south of Spain.
They
or to
flee
Florida.
To where it's nice and warm. Well, that's brilliant. I'm highly jealous. Let me read Steve's bio. It's a little bit of a shorter one. It says, Steve Burge has been involved with open source software for 20 years. Currently, he helps run the popular WordPress plugins that have over 1 million installs, and they are as follows. PublishPress, TaxoPress, MetaSlider, and Logtivity. I struggled to say that one when I was practicing. For some reason, that word couldn't exit my mouth, but I think I got it right, yeah? Logtivity?
Yeah, that one, we may need to rebrand it. I saw someone say that if you have more than three syllables in your company's brand name, then you may need to consider rebranding.
Okay.
Some of them, like Coca-Cola, you can get away with, but Logtivity.
Logtivity 4. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Loggity. What about Loggity? You could do that.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. If by the way, you end up using that, there is a fee. Let's...
There are exceptions. Stella W.
Yeah, okay.
WP build.
WP build. Yeah, that's
as soon as you add WP to anything, you may as well just hang it up, right?
Like, yeah, you've immediately gained four with two letters. That's no good. Okay, well, there's our panel for today. We're going to talk about the WordPress news and bits and pieces in a moment. Our focus is to just shine a light on a few choice stories that either me or the panel thought was interesting from the previous week. I've never done this, but it occurred to me, or maybe I've done it once, it occurred to me that I should say something like and subscribe, you know, do that YouTube
smash
thing.
Smash that button.
Yeah, do that. Hit the bell. Go and smash a thing. No, if you enjoy this content, you want to be notified about it. The only reason I said that is because I subscribed the other day. And I got an email just now, and I'm like, oh, is that what it is? Is that what actually happens? I'm such a Luddite when it comes to YouTube.
Wait, you subscribed to your own channel finally? Is that what I just said?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've never subscribed to it before because I know what's coming up. I don't need to do it. But now I realize that you get an email. That's the point, right? That's why everybody says it. So anyway, like and subscribe if you're watching this. I'd really appreciate that. Right, let's go to the comments and see who's here. We have somebody called Adam. Adam S., who's saying hi. Very nice to see you. I'm going to ignore the ones from the panelists mainly, so I can see, for example, that Peach has said something there. Patricia, you're coming up next, Patricia. 30 degrees, wherever Patricia is at the moment. I think you said Switzerland. Yeah, thought so. I don't know what that one means. Greetings on WP Builds.
That means about the Peter's weather report. That's what Patricia was doing.
Okay, got it. Okay, Peter's weather report is about to come up. But we're also joined by Cameron, who joins us from the other side of the planet. Can I have some of your temperature over here, please? Oh, okay, he's cold. Ah, okay. Well, there you go. Look, he's got a little cold icon. Sadly, Cameron, I'm enjoying the heat to some extent. You're going to get your turn in about 6 months' time, and it'll be lovely. Peter Ingersoll, as always, having a beautiful morning here in Connecticut, 20 degrees centigrade, 68 with clear skies and lower humidity. Tim Nash from just over the Pennines there, from a grey and chilly Yorkshire. Well, I'll tell you what, it's not the same Yorkshire I'm in, Tim. So there. I got blue skies and heat. Sorry about that. Thunder and lightning this morning. Honestly, we could do the whole thing as weather, couldn't we? I don't know what happened here. Tim Nash, I'm from Yorkshire, but I can't speak English, says Tim. Cameron. Again, Florida man joins WP Bills podcast. Chaos ensues. What is this Florida man thing? I hear it a bit, but I don't get it.
Brilliant. It's brilliant.
What is it? Is it like somebody that's not that bright or something?
It's that in Florida, anything that can be done by a person that's absolutely insane gets done by somebody who is native to Florida. And so
Just if you just put Florida man and then a date in the browser, just see what comes out. It's so much fun.
Do you want me to actually do that now? See what happens? Okay.
It'll be things like someone opens the back gate to their house, lets an alligator into the swimming pool and breeds as a pet.
That's what I was thinking. We need a video bomb by your pet alligator, Steve.
Oh, there's a Florida Man website. It's floridaman.com, as you'd expect. We have the same thing here. But it's not to do with Florida man. It's basically like local news. You know, you say something like man parks safely would be the headline in our local paper because there's just nothing.
Man, y'all live on the edge over there.
yeah, exactly. anyway, there we go. And a nice comment about, oh, crikey, Tim got in there quickly. The Published Press website seems not to have one single bit. It's not. So that's a nice comment. Peach's loving the UI going on over there, which is really nice. Sadly, Peach, I'll just say this and then we're done. For bonus points, add the word gator to the end. Florida man gator. Okay, all right. I'll do that whilst Peach says what she was going to say.
I'm just going to say it's almost as if you came from the old publishing world, because that's the people who don't send a text, is what I thought when I looked at your website.
That's part of the thinking. We aim at publishers and having things aligned properly is a little nugget to them.
go and check it out. Publishpress.com. It allows you to do all sorts of clever things inside the editor, especially if you've got a team, that kind of thing. Right. Okay. There we go. That's the main introductions. Firstly, thank you so much for making comments. If you want to do something like that, there's a few little bits that you might want to know. But can I find them? That's the question. Crikey, everything's moved around in this platform this week. They do this kind of thing, don't they? The first thing to do is to say this. If you are watching this and you want to share it with people, please do. That'd be great. wpbuilds.com/live. If you're logged into Google, you can use the comments on the right of the box on desktop. If you're on a mobile, they'll be underneath the video. Or if you don't want to be logged into anything, you know, you don't like Google or anything like that, the platform that we use, which is called Wave, it has an embedded chat in the video. So top right of the video, it says something like live chat on a black button. Click that and you don't need to be logged into anything. So that's kind of a nice way of doing it. Okay, so keep the comments coming. Let's get into the stuff from this week. The first thing to say is that if you want to subscribe to what we're doing, stick your email address in there and click subscribe, and then I will just spam the living heck out of you. At least two emails a week related to actual content that we create. So no spam guarantee. It's just basically when we produce a new piece of content, I will send you an email saying that it's come out. The other thing to mention is thank our kind sponsors. As of this moment, our sponsors are, as you can see on the page there, GoDaddy Pro and Bluehost and OmniSend. Real thanks to them for keeping this whole enterprise propped up. Really, really appreciate it. WPBuilds.com if you want to get any of the stuff there. All of our podcasts are organized on that page. Right, some sad news. I don't know if this is sad or not. And in fact, Peacher might have a unique take on this, so we'll see if she wants to share that or not. But this is the central.wordcamp.org website, and it says WordCamp Netherlands 2024 rescheduled. It sounds kind of benign, but then you read on a little bit. Let me read it to you. WordCamp Netherlands has been rescheduled from its initial date of late in September, to new dates of late in November. So it's been pushed a couple of months. In February, a new organizing team began preparations for the WordCamp. Despite some setbacks, the team has continued with enthusiasm and optimism. Most of the delays have been overcome, and nearly everything is in place to make this edition a success. However, one crucial aspect is beyond our control, which has become a major obstacle: attendee registration. Now, I won't say anything else about that. You can read between the lines, whatever you like there. But certainly on the face of it, this piece seems to imply that if there's not enough attendees, a solution to that would be, well, let's just move the date backwards rather than cancel the whole thing. Let's push it back a couple of months. Let's see if we can, I don't know, get in amongst the community, do things like podcasts like this, and see if we can get people to sign up. Peacher, don't know if you want to share what was in your head or not.
I'm just going to share my thoughts on it because I don't know. I haven't spoken to any of the organizers, and I don't know any of them. But what I'm thinking is that I've worked on local WordCamps, and attendees, I don't know whether they had no attendees, which I doubt, or fewer than the 200-300 they were expecting, because I don't think it's normally a big WordCamp anyway. And you would worry about that, like the last week, a WordCamp Valencia that I've helped organize. We got like 100 people from local schools signing up the final, you know, we went up to like 400 rather than, it's like 2 full months before. I found it strange. I'd love to hear from them and hear what they have to say about it, because to move it in early August, it was about a week ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You've got 2 full months, people in Europe are on holiday right now. Even if they'd sold no tickets in 2 months' time, of course they would have sold them. I find it really strange. I don't know who's this. I have no idea. You know, this is just what I'm thinking. I just wonder what the real reason is or whose decision it was, because of course, if they had 2 full months, it's not a good enough reason in my opinion. And that came out wrong. It's not like I'm saying, that WordCamp Netherlands made the wrong decision. Who am I to say that? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that I I was surprised that they gave that as the reason, because I would find it absolutely normal if you had sold 50 tickets now, right, knowing that you got the whole of, you know, September is when people go, oh, right, okay. Welcome to Netherlands. Of course, I want to go. And it, you would sell it out, I think, no problem.
If there's anybody watching this who has any insights into that, it'd be really interesting, because that's a really good point, right? If it's got 2 months to go, and but also in the article, I'll just pop it on the screen again so that anybody watching this can read it. It does make the point that, you know, that they make the point fairly clearly that there was a new organizing team. So I wonder if perhaps some of the things which would have happened in a sort of domino effect from a previous, more experienced team, I wonder if some of those dominoes didn't fall. And so the whole thing, I don't know, maybe the marketing of it and what have you got pushed back a little bit. But you're right, that's curious, isn't it? With 2 months to go, you'd expect sales to sort of start to come in now.
Really wouldn't be a worry.
Yeah. So, okay. So Cameron said it's some sort of privacy. Oh, so this is
Florida man.
This is a Florida man. We're back to that. So Patricia, let's see if she's on message with what we're talking about right at the minute. I agree with Peter, and people, at least in Europe, tend to buy their WordCamp tickets last minute anyway. So there we go. Hi, Corey. We'll be talking about you in a bit.
I may have tipped him off.
You may. Oh, okay, got it. Okay. It's something about fonts. But okay, so that's Peach's point of view. Anything, Michelle? Anything?
So I have a lot of thoughts.
Go for it.
So I don't know about this camp in particular, so I'm not going to comment specifically on WordCamp Netherlands. But being a WordCamp mentor and working with different sized organizations, and also being an organizer of WordCamp Rochester and Buffalo, I can say that our numbers have been trending down. That's not the same for the flagship events, of course. Those are much larger. But Rochester last year was about half the size it was prior to the pandemic. WordCamp Atlanta last year, I was their mentor, and they used to have about 500, and they had a little over 100. And it was not for lack of like getting the word out. It was not for lack of anything else. The team, it was a huge team. They were gung-ho, all of that. But it has been a struggle post-pandemic for local camps to build. And depending on the cost of your everything that goes into your camp. So if your venue is very expensive and you aren't able to pay for that, there might be issues. I don't know what's happening with that particular WordCamp. I just know that overall, it's been a struggle to try to raise the funds through ticket sales. Like you can't put on an event for 75 people in a place that holds 1,000 and expect that the costs are going to cover themselves. And this is not that situation, or might not be. But overall, it's been a struggle, and it's been one of those things that there's a lot of still online. Meetups have been difficult to get up and running again. And I know that we've been post-pandemic for quite a while yet, but COVID is still real. I've got it twice in the last 2 years, having attended WordCamps. And so I think that there's just a lot going on. I don't think we can point to just one thing in particular, but I think that there's just a lot that goes into it. And it sometimes is disappointing when you have to make that decision, or if the decision is being made for you. Again, I don't know, but my heart goes out to them, because I know that it's a struggle and it's very difficult to have to postpone as well.
Can I just say one thing, though? That's all very true, Michelle, but it's true in the US. In Europe, it's, again, I don't know about everywhere in Europe, but I do know that in Spain last year, WordCamp Valencia 2023 was the biggest it ever was. WordCamps are happening all over the place again here. The meetups here, we've gone way above pandemic. We've got a bigger venue than we did before. And I know that the UK is still struggling. And I don't know enough about the Netherlands, but I'm quite good friends with people there who say that their meetups are going really well. So again, I don't know.
I don't either.
And I know that in Italy as well, it's going back to, you know, there's quite a few local WordCamps that are happening. I mean, in Spain, I haven't counted them, but we're back to the usual, like, a WordCamp a weekend almost, which is what happens in Spain. So Again, it's only conjectures anyway, because we haven't spoken to any of them. But I think that each local reality is different. And I think that that's what, you know, so I don't know if people from Work and Netherlands can share, whatever. We feel for you, that's the thing, because surely it's disappointing to have to move it when you've been working on it for so long.
Yeah. Steve, any thoughts?
Oh, we used to have 3-4 just in Florida alone every year. I think one year we even had 5 when WordCamp, trying to pronounce that properly. The education university.
WP Campus.
WP Campus. There was Tampa, Miami, Orlando, Jacksonville, plus an extra WP Campus event. That was probably the maximum that we hit down here in just one state. And now I can't remember the last time we had a WordCamp here in Florida, definitely pre-pandemic.
I think it's very US.
Certainly in the UK. Oh, yeah, sorry. In the UK, it really has sort of nosedived and it hasn't really returned. So I think maybe we're mimicking more of the kind of the USA model there, or at least, you know, maybe this Netherlands model. But it sounds like in Italy, and I think in Spain as well, and Portugal, it seems to be sort of like on the up. But the Spanish community is always like famously vibrant, isn't it? There's just something in the water over there.
Yeah, definitely. But Italy as well, from what I've seen and heard, I don't know if it's an after effect also of the having WordCamp Europe there maybe has galvanized the community, but some small WordCamps have come back into existence, like WordCamp Verona and WordCamp Milan has happened, where they've done local community events. So it feels lively. And I know it isn't there everywhere, but yeah, I guess every place is different, but I feel like Europe is slightly more active.
Yeah. So anyway, if you were thinking of attending, I presume that if you bought a ticket already, the organizers will have been in touch or shortly will be in touch. Hopefully there won't be a load of, you know, refunded tickets or return tickets because the dates no longer fit. But it's now moved to what would have been kind of a really pleasant time of the year in terms of the weather, September, late September, to something which is probably in the Netherlands at least going to be pretty darn cold and, you know, short nights and all of that kind of stuff. But anyway, that's what's happened. We'll await to see if there's any more news behind the scenes there about that we don't yet know about. So Tim Nash makes the point that he's really surprised that the venue was happy to move the event if low attendance was in fact the issue. Yeah, that's curious, isn't it? Without grassroots, he goes on to say, meetups, there isn't the support for WordCamps. What's kind of curious in the UK is that it's definitely not WordCamps that are, it's not just WordCamps. So it's just this swath of like pubs and things like that that have just closed down post-pandemic. People's lives have definitely changed. I think there's more like, you know, doing things at home and less going out and all of that kind of stuff. So it's not just WordPress events and the excitement or lack of.
Isn't also that in the UK the issue that the venues have pushed up the prices
really
immensely.
Expensive. Yeah,
like it was easy to find three places before, and now it's like $15,000.
Yeah, it's crazy expensive
for a meetup.
So
that's nuts. The issue there, I think.
Absolutely nuts. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, that was that story. So WordCamp Central. If you were going to the Netherlands meet WordCamp, then just have a look in your inbox and see if something drops about that. Let's move on. This may be entirely connected. Actually, there might be a segue here that I didn't actually spot, but here we go. So this is an article which came out just a few days ago, the 7th of August, and this may address that problem. Proposed changes to advertising marketing expense guidelines. And I'll just quickly read because it's going to be the easiest way to do it. The current event guidelines state that the inclusion of advertising expenses in an event budget is very rarely allowed. And then I'm quoting from that document, which is on the page. You should plan not to include the following expenses in your budget unless an experienced deputy approves the expenses. And then there's a bunch of stuff which is missed out. And then advertising is one of those. In other words, don't allocate money to advertising. Okay, so why the change? It says the community team's goal for upcoming events is to warmly welcome more first-time attendees. The aim is to get 50% of participants to be newcomers while celebrating returning attendees. To achieve this, event organizers should focus on attracting new participants through well-planned event design, messaging, marketing strategies. And we propose that updating the guidelines to allow a variable or fixed amount of money for a WordPress event to budget towards marketing and advertising. However, if you are somebody involved in these, don't imagine it's going to be kind of like a really large amount, because it's not. Again, I'm quoting from the proposal: a proportion of the budget may be allocated for marketing and advertising. We suggest a minimum of $50. I'm guessing that's US dollars, and a maximum of $400. So not a very large amount. And they're recommending that instead of going to places like Facebook ads or Google ads, which are going to drain that pot almost immediately, be a little bit more intelligent and go for places like event directories, newsletter listings, influencer partnerships. You know, you could come on podcasts like I do and what have you, collaborations, physical marketing, and then, yeah, social media marketing and traditional media, but bear in mind the cost of those. So it's a slight change, but I guess if you had no budget, going from zero budget to, I don't know, ceiling of $400, at least it's something. I don't know what you think. To me, that seems like a very small amount of money, $50 or $400, you know, the ceiling there. But it's better than nothing, I guess. And, you know, we've got two of you, at least, Peter and Michelle, who are deep in the weeds of this. What are your thoughts?
Peter, you go first.
Okay, Peter first, yeah.
I don't know, because as far as I... Well, 400 for each meetup, for each event?
Yeah, I guess for each event. So I don't know if that means that you've got like a monthly meetup, but also, yeah, 400 was the absolute ceiling. I'm guessing that would be more constrained if it was, you know, a monthly meetup. I don't know if it would be 400 for every single time you did it. Yeah.
So I don't know enough about advertising. I know that when I've tried Facebook advertising, basically, if you don't, you have to spend a minimum. That's the minimum amount you spend on a monthly basis, and it would only be worth it if you keep spending that amount. It has to be constant, otherwise there's no point. I don't know if local advertising makes any sense, and I don't know how much that would cost. So I actually don't know about this one. I mean, it just seems to me like it's not very much anyway.
I guess also if you've got a bunch of people on your team who, you know, haven't been that focused on marketing with money in the back pocket, you're going to have to upskill and learn those things, aren't you? So, you know, finding influencers and finding novel ways to do it. And it feels like reaching into your pocket to give the money to Google and Facebook is probably, it looks like they're really not suggesting that. That seems like the last thing they actually want that money to be spent on, more sort of organic or... You know,
I mean, Tim is saying that $400 is not—it's not even going to be enough to make it possible to track if it's making a difference. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. So that was Tim Nash in the comments. Thanks, Tim.
Andrew is also saying something interesting.
Okay, so Andrew Palmer, thanks Andrew for joining us. He says basically WordPress didn't want to pay for advertising. The only place funds come from, I guess, is WordPress community support, who lost last year. Had a shortfall of 175,000, all from donations. And yeah, that's the commentary we've got at the moment. So, Peter, have you wrapped up? We'll take it to Michelle.
Please. So, I like the idea of it, right? That they're going to put some money behind helping us get more attendees. But it's just a drop in the pan as far as the amount of money. The fact that they even add traditional television and radio with a cap of $400 is laughable. Like, I can't buy a radio ad on the least listened to radio station in small Rochester, New York for $400. So it's just not really something that's accomplishable with that. Now, could I maybe run something in a small local paper? Yes, but nobody's reading paper anymore. So there's that as well. I really don't know where I would be able to. And I'm imagining $400 would be for like WordCamp US and $50 would be for WordCamp Rochester, and where would I put $50 in the local economy that would actually move the needle at all? And you know, I'm a big, I love all the ideas and things like that, but this one just feels like, when you're going to the store with your mom as a kid and you say, "Can I get a toy?" and she says, "We'll see." It feels like that placating kind of step to make you feel like, "Oh, look, we're doing something, and it's going to be X number of hundreds of thousands of dollars across all of the events." And yet the smallest portion that you get is, it's like a class action lawsuit. Like, they're going to give you $75 million, but you as the individual user gets $1.52 and you can't even buy a cup of coffee. So,
yeah, I guess if these events, it's hard, isn't it? Because we've had years of events which have totally run themselves on a voluntary basis, and they became the norm. And obviously, we discussed a minute ago about things like COVID and maybe decline in certain parts of the world in attendance. If you want those attendance numbers to grow again, maybe it does require some radical thinking, and paying for advertising is going to be part of it. But the numbers are so dramatically different from what we all know you'd need, unless you did something a bit more guerrilla. But trying to find the people who don't already attend these, I think, is the really difficult bit. Like, how do you discover the people who would attend a WordPress event who don't already follow that kind of thing? It's difficult, really, really difficult. Anyway, sorry,
maybe,
Steve.
Maybe your local colleges.
Yeah,
maybe
you could
spend a little money at your local college, but
good point. Sorry. Steve.
Steve, I didn't mean to put down newspapers, Steve. I just realized it.
We've had a tiny bit of experience with this on the Drupal side. They did some advertising for their DrupalCon, and they had a very, very clear target audience. They wanted to hit more enterprise people. So I guess my question around this particular advertising is, do we have a target audience? Where would you advertise? Where would you actually go to reach these people? All of this seems quite unclear from these initial guidelines. And maybe they have something more specific in mind, but the actual blog post itself is quite unclear and hard to pass.
Right. Let me just raise a few comments here. So I think, did we raise this one? Yeah, we did that one. So Andrew's come back with another one. He said, if every meetup had $400, which I think we've realized it probably isn't that, it's more, you know, more towards the other end. But anyway, if that number were the case, Andrew's done a quick bit of maths, $1.5 million would be the cost of that. Why not put money into a general advertising budget? And then actually, coincidentally, at more or less exactly the same moment, Tim suggested something similar. This is one of those times that actually a central pot would have more buying power. So what are you saying there, Tim and Andrew? Are you kind of saying that just advertising WordPress events on somewhere, and then when you are attracted by that, you would go to a website where you could then drill down into where you lived and see something geographically more targeted? So, you know, like...
Every ad you see is for .com, though. It isn't for any of the self-hostedness of WordPress.
Yeah, interesting. And of course, you got things in the WP admin, but I'm guessing most people...
Wonder why that is.
Yeah.
Just .com.
Yeah, okay.
Wonder why.
We could digress, couldn't we into...
We could only guess.
Okay, so anyway, it is a change. Maybe it's the beginning of a change, and maybe there's now a realization that the money might need to be spent on those kind of things if we are going to attract, as it says, 50% of new people. It's kind of nice blue sky thinking, but we'll wait and see how that all transpires. Okay, I did have an article which I was going to raise all about the switch from Webflow to WordPress, but unless anybody's, because the time's moved on and we've done quite a bit on those two pieces, can I just skip that? Did either of you three have something specific to say about that? And if not, I'll just roll past it.
Use WordPress, not Webflow.
Yeah, okay, that's basically the takeaway, isn't it? Yeah, nice. I'll link to it in the show notes anyway. As with everything that we discussed today, it'll be in the show notes that you'll get if you hit that little email contact form that I
subscribe.
Shared at the beginning. Yeah, subscribe, hit the bell, that thing. Right, okay, so look, it's now Patricia. She's on the screen. So two pieces from Patricia. I'll get the slightly awkward bit out of the way first. I did a podcast episode with Patricia a couple of weeks ago. We recorded it. And nice new show. Always nice to have new shows in the WordPress space. You can find this at WP Mondo, M-O-N-D-O, all as one word. And this is episode 3 of the podcast, and it's me. And you know, you just go there and have a listen if you want to hear anything coming out of my mouth, which Patricia, sadly, I think you've hit a loss leader there, but never mind. But she's got something a little bit more interesting over here. She said, why I decided not to ask for sponsorship for WordCamp EU. And this was one of those like narrative stories where you're reading it and you're just warm to Patricia more and more as the article goes on. I'm going to just paraphrase it very briefly. Patricia did what I think many people have done in the WordPress space. She wanted to just be a good citizen, and she wanted to fund all of the things from her own business and attend the events through her own pocket and with the, you know, the profit that her business generated. And actually the contribution, so Patricia was one of the organizers of WordCamp Europe this year in Torino. And as you read through it, the requirements of that, at least for Patricia, were fairly substantial, including 3 trips to Torino. And if I'm right, Patricia, you're in Switzerland. So maybe not quite as far as, you know, me, for example, but nevertheless, a sizable investment to go, and was quite, you know, would tell her friends that this was what was happening, and their friends would all be, what? And you're paying for it out of your own pocket? Yeah, I'm doing that. And, you know, you can imagine how that might go down. And so there's just the story of all of that and what's required. But then a sort of change of direction. I think Patricia, forgive me if I'm putting words in your mouth, Patricia, about this change of direction, and would like to onboard sponsorships to continue the contributing work that Patricia's doing in the near future. It's patriciabt.com/blog. And this particular piece is called Why I Decided Not to Ask for Sponsorship Before WordCamp EU. And then right about halfway down the page are some ways that if you want to help Patricia out, you can do that for other WordCamp events. And maybe it goes back to this piece a little bit. You know, are we just now living in a world where people are more aligned to doing things where there's a, I don't know, dare I say it, a profit motive? So, you know, they want to attend a WordPress event. They want to get value out of it. Maybe the organizers are more interested in that. And in Patricia's case, you know, you can't keep doing this stuff forever for nothing. You have to at some point realize that it's going to empty your wallet if you keep doing it forever. And anyway, there you go. There's Patricia's story just paraphrased nicely. Anybody want to add to that?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. Let's go Steve first and then Michelle after that.
Oh, I had one line. Basically, I was going to say it may not be so much as a profit motive, so much as a avoiding a loss motive.
There you go. That's a better description of it. Thank you.
I think quite a few contributors are happy if they break even and it doesn't cost them being out of their own pocket.
Exactly. Yeah. I wouldn't call it profit. It's just like not ruining myself.
Yeah.
While I burn myself out completely on this wonderful event. So you know how I, you know, feel. I won't activate myself on this actually. I'll just leave it. But I hope that I personally think that organizers are the first that should be even remunerated, because I can tell I'm activating myself. I am leaving it at that. I am not carrying on any further. Please don't let me.
Okay. I have spoken at length before on this show about the need to sponsor people and have not have people paying, especially you know, people who are freelancing, and of course I speak a lot about underrepresented groups too, because typically underrepresented groups make less money already than our more represented groups. And so, you know, we've talked about my selfie challenge and how I've raised over $5,000 in a year and a half and given that money away to underrepresented folks who are speakers and organizers to get to WordCamps. The WPCC Collective, or WP Collective?
CC, yeah. That's not WPCC. Easy. WPCC.
The WPCC has also been really good at helping and getting people to events. Yoast has their diversity fund that helps sponsor people to events as well, because it is not easy for people to raise that money and then also have to decide, am I going to WordCamp, which I'm working the whole time, or can I also afford to take a vacation this year and actually have some downtime, which is so important to all of us to be able to have that time to rejuvenate and relax. You shouldn't have to make the decision between working an event and paying for that out of your own pocket or being able to take downtime for yourself and your family. And so I think that, yeah, I hope that people do sponsor her, but I also agree with Andrew that we shouldn't have to have this. There should be a way for us to, as a community, have sponsorship for these kinds of events. It could be worked into budgets. There's lots of different ways that we could do this. I'm not saying I have the answer for this, but I think that we need to keep raising the question about why we're seeing so many people have to find ways to afford to attend events. And I think that, Patricia, I applaud you. I think that it's great that you're seeking the help, but that you should be afforded for all of the work that you do. I see Birgit in the comments. Birgit and I have both raised money before, and I'm hoping that some of the work I've done helps reduce the stigmatism of asking for help. I think it's important that if you have something to contribute and you want to be there, that it's okay to ask for help and to see if other people can help you achieve that. Because when you speak at an event or when you organize an event, you are giving back to the community, in great amounts. Peachy, go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much for saying that, Michelle. So I completely agree, and I have been in that position before, and it's not an easy position to be in, where actually being involved in a work camp in any way becomes a problem. That's what this situation is. But my main thing that I wanted to say about this is that because if organizers are not paid, the quality of the event really, really suffers from it, because you have other priorities. And therefore, we need to think that these conferences are serious conferences. They are professional events. And therefore, the people organizing them should get paid as professionals, because they're doing a big job. And if they did get paid, then maybe a lot of issues wouldn't happen that make WordCamps less safe if you're involved with them. In some ways, sometimes feel less professional than other events. What I think.
It does kind of feel that we are maybe approaching sort of a tipping point, or maybe, somebody has to grab this bull by the horns at some point, because it feels like this commentary gets louder and louder, and it gets repeated over and over again. We've had a few comments come in, so I'll just raise those. Firstly, Birgit, who Michelle mentioned, is joining us. Hello, nice to have you with us. And Ali is saying, congratulations on the show. I'm presuming he's meaning the WP Mondo podcast, which we showed. Again, it'll all be linked in the show notes tomorrow. Right, so Andrew Palmer says he disagrees with this absolutely. I'm guessing he's disagreeing with the fact that you need to be a volunteer and there's no payment there. There is a way for the WordPress Foundation and WordPress community to support to pay for contributors to attend. I'll carry on with Andrew for a moment. It is astounding that WordCamps do not remunerate organizers. He says he finds it astounding. Tim goes on to carry on. He says, I'm always amazed when folks say, I will see you at WordCamp US, like, do you know how much it costs if you're a freelancer, let alone then working by organizing, speaking and volunteering? Yeah, good point. And then Patricia herself jumps in. Thank you for mentioning it. Oh, nice, nice. She says, by the way, got one sponsor now. I'll publish about them soon. They sponsor a quarter of my contributor time, and it's Theme Isle. So there you go. Hat tip to Theme Isle.
Congratulations, Patricia.
Yeah, that's awesome. Totally all right to mention it. She says, Patricia says, I hope it's okay to mention that. Yeah, of course. That's absolutely brilliant. Well, so bravo for finding that. And let's hope more come your way. And then Birgit chimes in. Since over 10 years, I advocate for a kind of official contributor fund. So Birgit's been advocating for that for 10 years, but then says it's cricket. So there's no comeback on that, I guess. Project leadership have said, and she's quoting, I'm quoting Birgit here, it's too complicated to set this up. And the current foundation is not set up as a fiscal host. Okay, friendly web guy. Ah, I can never remember who this is. Somebody help me out. Who is this? Anyway, it would be nice to see 0.5 of 5 for the future funds go towards funding of this type of travel. Oh, that's interesting. So make it a slice of the 5 for the future pot. Crikey, yeah, that's interesting. Andrew Palmer said here, I don't know exactly which sentence he was saying it about. And Patricia's coming back to friendly web guy saying there is no 5 for the future funds for reasons mentioned by Birgit. It's private funding between sponsors and contributing. Crikey, this has generated interest, doesn't it? Organizing speakers should be paid, says Cameron Jones. That's where I'll leave it, because otherwise I will join Peacha in ranting. Okay, so lots of commentary about that. What I'm getting, the sense of what I'm getting is we can't keep doing what we're doing and expect the events to be of a high quality and to make everybody happy. And maybe this is some sort of systemic thing which has been able to happen for the last 21 years, but maybe the ground is shifting and it needs to be changed. And the comments just keep coming in. Oh, it's Dave Gray. Thank you. Of course it's Dave. It's Dave Gray. Brilliant. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Okay, there's that. Does anybody want to carry on? That seems like the hot topic of this week, but we can move on if we're ready. I think we're ready. Okay, great. All right. Let us do just that then. So this is a piece that Michelle brought to my attention this week. It is, we've mentioned it a few times on this show, and it's getting closer and closer. WordPress Accessibility Day 2024. You can find it at 2024. So the character, the numbers, the numerals, 2024.wpaccessibility.day. And it looks like we've got somebody, Lainey Feingold. I confess I don't know, yes. Lainey. Tell us about this. This is a keynote speaker, right?
She's the keynote speaker, and she is a disability rights lawyer, author, and an international speaker. So we're very excited to have her join us for WP Accessibility Day, which is October 9th and 10th. It's a 24-hour event, all live and free to attend. Registration will be opening very soon. So follow us on all the socials, because you'll be able to get all kinds of information there. And subscribe to our email list. Is that that should be the title of today's episode? Subscribe to the email list to get all of those updates. I am one of the I'm the team lead for marketing for WP Accessibility Day, and I'm very excited about all the work that we're doing over there. It's my first year helping out with that event. It looks to be great, and she is a dynamic person. So
the presentation that is going to be presented, according to this, is entitled Accessibility is a Civil Right, the Digital Accessibility Legal Landscape for the WordPress Community. I always think this whole accessibility thing, which is right now one of the hot topics, isn't it? You know, some things come and go, and accessibility seems to be having its real moment in the spotlight. I always feel it kind of breaks down into two areas, one of which is kind of just that moral thing to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And then there's the other side, which is the legal thing, which is you do it because you now have to do it. If you can't summon up the morals to do it, then the carrot and stick, you know, here comes the stick. And having somebody who actually knows what they're on about, a lawyer, specifically an accessibility related lawyer, that's gold. That's really cool. So
we're going to start to see in the next 18 months some really strict rules coming out of the EU regarding accessibility as well. So it's really important to kind of pay attention to what's going on. And this free event is a great way to do that.
Yeah, I think it's June 2025. What is it? The European Accessibility Act, the EAA.
28 June 2025. But the European Accessibility Act is actually a directive. It's sort of a benchmark guidance as to what each member state needs to do about it, and then each member state issues legislation. And some countries already have. Germany, Ireland, I'm pretty sure Spain as well have already done this. And I mean, in Ireland, you get the maximum fine, I think, is 60,000 euros, which you might say for a big company is not that much. But the CEO can
go to prison.
18 months.
Yeah.
18 months. And in Germany, you can, if you, so there's a limit because it's companies with more than 10 employees and more than 2 million euros in revenue. So not the small guys yet, which I'm slightly disappointed about, but still. And so there's that. But in Germany, you can report your competitor. If you've done it and your competitor hasn't done it, you're allowed to report them.
Oh, God.
It's serious. It's coming up. And it's serious. I'm talking about it at a non-WordPress conference in Berlin in September. And because it's not WordPress, I get paid.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah, the full circle.
That's, I get a hotel, you know.
That's beautiful.
And the honorarium. You know.
That's great. And although it's not apropos of the event, the WP Accessibility Day, I recorded an episode with Rian Rietveld about the European Accessibility Act, which came out, well, anyway, it's on WP Tavern, and
brilliant.
It was episode number 127, and she dives deep with me into explaining what the implications are and demystifying it a bit, but also there are some mysterious areas still where we don't know what each individual country is going to do, but WP Tavern, episode 127, if you click the podcast icon here, then
it's really a great episode, if I might say.
Yeah, it was good. She's she was actually at Whitley Bay a couple of weeks later, so I got to hear her twice in a very short space of time, but yeah. But anyway, back to the original piece. There it is. Lainey Feingold. And this is going to happen 9th of October at 3 p.m. Mm-hmm. UTC.
For 24
Steve,
hours.
Anything on that?
Well, you've mentioned two cases, the legal case and the moral case. There's a business case as well to be made for accessibility. You're increasing the size of your audience.
Yeah, I think Rian said that, I can't remember the numbers, but basically if you aren't catering to the and obviously accessibility is a very broad umbrella. There's a lot of things which fall under that word. But there is a lot of money on the table, and it is a staggeringly large amount, not only as a percentage, I can't remember what the number was, but it was much, much higher than my intuition would have led me to believe. But the numbers that are tied to that are really, truly eye-watering. And if you can unlock that by making your website accessible, then you're not leaving that money on the table. So anyway, there we go. Michelle also dropped another article, but this is about something which has already taken place, but you're obviously very proud of this event that happened recently.
I am, and we offered an honorarium, so we paid our speakers, and they were all online, so there was no travel expenses, of course.
Nice.
And if you scroll down to the very bottom of that, and you see Beth Hannon on the left-hand side, get ready for the European Accessibility Act. So click on that.
Nice.
Just to show people how to use the site. So we have all of the different talks are now available online. If you click the talk that you want to see and then expand watch here, you can actually either click over to YouTube or watch it right there on our website. So we have that whole, everything that happened at Stellar Spark is now available online. Josefa was our keynote and did a great job talking about WordPress there. And we've just got some really amazing talks. Some of our, I think if he's still in the chat, Corey Moss was one of our speakers. So he's was talking about images and how to use images. So just the whole day was really phenomenal. And I had a great time emceeing it.
Again, the links will be in the show notes. But if you go to stellarwp.com/stellar-spark, and then in this case, it's spark-2024, you'll be able to catch up on all of the presentations as a YouTube video. Or as Michelle said, you can just go watch them on YouTube. Seems like the conversation is still carrying on between members of the community. So I'll just leave it there because we've kind of moved on. But you guys carry on. That's lovely. So that's an event which has happened and is now free to watch. Mm-hmm. A couple of things coming up in the coming week on the developer side of things, whether you're a theme developer or developer. The first one is, this is Ryan Welcher and Juanmar Garrido. They're doing something, I believe it's tomorrow. Yes, it's tomorrow, 3 to 4 UTC. And this is entitled An Introduction to Block Development. So if you have an intuition that you'd like to begin that as a thing and you don't have the skill set, well, those the pair are going to try and educate you in that. It was really nice. Actually, we had Juanmar Garrido at the WordPress London meetup the other day. He did a little talk about WordPress 6.6 and what was coming in there, both automaticians. And the other thing to mention is Birgit Paulihak and Tammy Lister, both of whom are regular visitors on this show. They're taking a different angle. It's a developer hours thing again. This time it's on August the 27th. So you've got a few weeks to book this one in. Theme development, building WordPress themes with the Create Block Theme plugin. And again, these are both on meetup.com and links will be in the show notes, but I'm sure that you can Google those. Okay, so that's a little bit of nice advertising for those two events. This is super cool. Honestly, the whole playground thing just has me so excited. I don't know why, but I'm really, really excited about it. And up until now, if you start an instance of playground, that whole thing goes away when you close the tab. Now persistence seems to be around the corner, and I'm imagining there'll be a million uses out there of people who will, you know, be able to do something useful with it. For me, it's just an academic exercise. I just love the fact that it is persistent. Anyway, Barrow, apologies for butchering the name there, on the 5th of August said, introducing offline mode and PWA support for WordPress Playground. We're excited to share that WordPress Playground now supports offline mode and can be installed as a progressive web app. These features allow you to explore and experiment with WordPress without needing an active internet connection, making it easier to develop and test your ideas on the go. And then there's a little description of offline mode and PWA support. Honestly, it's above my pay grade, so maybe Steve can go into that if he's willing. I don't know if he's looked at this. But yeah, quite exciting. The idea that you can have a persistent WordPress website which just is inside your computer. I can imagine, you know, it's almost like having an app on your computer, isn't it? You know, you've got like Evernote or Trello or whatever it may be doing things on your computer. This could be the same. So yeah, anybody got anything to add to that? I'm probably going to direct it towards Steve in this case.
Yeah. I haven't set up any examples of the playground for our plugins yet, but I found it very useful following some of the chats in the WordPress Slack. People will just share a link to the playground with, say, an example for a new feature or a new pull request. They'll say, hey, click this link, test the PR. It will spin up an example of the playground with the proposed changes. It seems like quite a flexible product that they're using the playground to help people communicate what's going on with development, to show examples of plugins, of themes. I seem to remember seeing other ideas proposed as well. It seems like a flowering project that's spinning off quite a lot of different use cases.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So obviously on WordPress.org now, if you want, I mean, in many cases, so there's now a flag. You've got to opt in if you're a plugin developer. But if you wish your plugin to be available to anybody to try in a heartbeat, including dependencies that you may have. I don't know, let's say that you've got a WooCommerce-related plugin. You can tell that the team over at the .org website that you want WooCommerce installed in there and what have you. And it just, in a heartbeat, you've got WordPress installed. And that's kind of like novel and really interesting that can work and how it works. But then the idea that you could have that just sticking around as a progressive web app on your machine, I mean, you can imagine the educational like consequences of that, like in, I don't know, primary school or secondary school, where children are just working on a website project and, you know, they've got a Chromebook or something or a laptop and they want to just keep doing it when they go home and they can carry that on now and they don't need an expensive setup. They don't need to install a server and all of those kind of things. I just think it's really fascinating and it is going to be genuinely really interesting what people come up with. And I think it's one of those situations where invent the technology, throw it out and just see what the heck people come up with. And I was liking it. I was talking to Adam Silverstein. No, who was it? I've forgotten. One of the guys who came up with the whole thing. Anyway, I did a podcast interview with him. And I kind of likened it to when Apple's iPhone suddenly got the App Store. Like, it was a great product. It was brilliant. It could do a whole bunch of stuff. But then if you throw the App Store at it, suddenly everybody's like, oh, we can do stuff as well. And then all that happened. And we know what it did to the iPhone sales. And I feel it's a bit like that. I feel Playground's going to be like, let's just see where we go. And now having it offline, really cool. And please would somebody put me out of my misery and tell me what episode I recorded with about and who he was, because I forgot. And I'm really embarrassed that I've forgotten that person's name. Sorry. Okay, testing plugins and trying out themes seems like an option to Elliot. He's also saying Playground is really useful for testing plugins before you buy. Yeah, right. How cool is that? And I'm guessing that, you know, the commercial plugins, you could have your own examples of them. So, Steve, you could sell your commercial plugins and issue a button to allow everybody to look at the what commercial version you've got and so on.
I think you may have to fork it or do some other work.
Yeah, you would.
Commercial plugins.
Yeah. You wouldn't be able to do it on the .org side, but you could certainly have your own example set up on your own website. So anyway, that's really cool. And there are some limitations. Like, for example, you can't change the PHP number, but it's all a bit, you know, it's a bit technical for this show. Peacher? Michelle?
People are helping out in the chat again, I think.
Oh, thank you.
Adam Zielinski.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Thank you so much. I don't know why Silverstein came out of my mouth. I think he's a Googler to do with like web optimization and performance and things like that. So thank you so much, Elliot. It was indeed. It was Adam Zielinski, and it was episode number 122. Brilliant. I've just like crowdsourced my brain. This is great.
Who needs to remember anything when you've got an Elliot in your life?
Yeah, well... Who needs to, yeah. Have you not noticed, has that happened to you just in life in general? Is that you've
all
like
the time.
Basically like given your brain out to like your mobile phone and like your mm-hmm. Google Calendar and stuff like that. So you don't need to remember it anymore. And because you don't need to remember it anymore, you don't make the effort to remember it anymore. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know anybody's phone number except my daughter.
No. And I was very proud that I used to know people's phone numbers. And now it's just like, now you just click the icon. I don't know what their phone number is. Yeah. Anyway, there we go. Let us move on. So I don't know where this is going to land with the .org community, which is basically what this podcast is about, but this is something coming to .com, and I imagine that the Jetpack nature of it will mean that it's available to Jetpack users. I don't know. Did somebody just want to say something then? It sounded like somebody took a breath to start.
I just was laughing at the next comment.
Oh, okay. Shall I do that quickly first? Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Thanks.
He tweeted that he was going to be late with the dad jokes, but man, did he come through in spades once he did.
Wait, hang on. You see, that could be true. I have no idea. Tim Nash says you owe me 100 quid from last week. Do I? Is that actually a thing? I don't think I do. Worth
his
a try.
Next, so. His next comment says it was worth a try. Yeah.
God, brilliant. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't have any comments about this article.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So WordPress.com has issued, and I guess it's part of Jetpack. I'm not entirely sure. Is it? Can anybody see Jetpack anywhere? Anyway, unfortunately, the video is not working anymore. But what they've done is they've built into their AI offering the option to click a button. So this is for something that you've already written. Obviously, that could, I guess, be AI conceived text, but also it could be your own text. And then it will highlight areas where it thinks you could make improvements. And obviously, you know, caveat emptor, it's an AI, it's going to screw things up a little bit. But you can see on this here a little bit. So for example, it will show suggestions for complex words, and then it will underline that in a certain color so you know what you're targeting there. Sentences which are overly long, again, you can see this one in purple. Apologies if you're listening to this, but basically text is underlined in a certain color. And unconfident words, which I thought was a really weird one, but then they show you an example. So it might be starting a sentence, for example, with probably instead of saying that it's definitely or something like that. And then you can get the AI to kind of fix it up. I don't know if it's something that I'd ever use, but again, it's just like the evolution of these AIs and how they're going. So it will measure readability. It will tell you about long-winded sentences. It will try to boost your confidence and simplify your vocabulary and so on. So anyway, there it is. Maybe it'll come to Jetpack. I don't know. Over to you guys if you've got any commentary about this. Maybe there's a better rival service. I don't know, but I've not seen anything quite like this.
I think quite a lot of these AI use cases become almost like table stakes that you have to have them. I mean, Google Docs has had something like this for years, even Microsoft Word. There's lots of free tools out there like this Hemingway Grammarly.
Grammarly, that's it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting to find the AI use cases which are more powerful, but good on WordPress.com for adding something like this. It's not groundbreaking, but it's kind of like the baseline that people expect these days.
Yeah.
Is to have one of these writing advice tools.
Yeah. You kind of don't really expect WordPress in any way to be groundbreaking in this kind of thing, do you really? I mean, it's not their thing. They're obviously selling, getting that data from something like OpenAI and shuttling it back and forth. And I would imagine it's the more agile startups out there that are breaking the ground, and then places like WordPress are sort of, coming up with suggestions off the back of it. Okay, well, anyway, there it is. I thought that was quite novel. It's in a WordPress editor near you if you're on the .com website, but it says from the team at Jetpack AI. So I imagine if you're a paid user of Jetpack and you've got all the AI stuff that they offer, that will come to a website near you. Not sure. Michelle, Peacher, anything on that, or should we crack on?
I just always think it's funny when it says that AI is going to strengthen your writing when it's actually just replacing your writing. So it's not actually strengthening anything that you're doing. It's doing it for you, which is...
Yeah. Yeah.
My writing is bad.
Yeah.
Also, it's like, what is unconfident words? Maybe if I use the word probably is because it is only probable and not for sure. It's...
There was a really nice example in the video, which sadly I can no longer play. If I refresh that page, let's see if the video comes back. And yeah, it just says there's an error. I don't know what I did, but the first word, it might have been probably, but the context of it at the beginning of the sentence, it wasn't the probably that you're thinking of. Like
right
in the middle of a sentence, it definitely felt like, oh, this could be something that you're interested in, as opposed to you should check this out.
Wow,
it had that kind of feel to it. Do you know what I mean? So it lacked that confidence. It lacked that sort of assertiveness, which I do all the time. My writing is punctured throughout with those kind of, self-deprecating words. And obviously, if you're, business and trying to sell things, you probably do want to root a few of those out. But anyway, there it is. Did you want to carry on, Peacher? Sorry.
No. That's it. I haven't been terribly successful with AI improving my writing.
No. I do kind of feel we've kind of maybe reaching max AI at the moment. I don't know if that's the case, but I've yet to, when it all came out and OpenAI started, it was all so groundbreaking that everything felt like just a massive step forward. And now, what is it, like 6 months since I've seen anything in AI that's made me go, that's fascinating.
I have really given it my time to understand it, but a lot of the time, the effort that you need to put in order to get any valuable output is like, I could have done it myself.
Yeah.
And there are things that I've had to completely give up on. It's like, clearly this is not going to happen. You're not able to do this.
I have a really fabulous tool, Peacher, which is just so amazing. And it takes audio, transcribes it, and then summarizes it.
And it's very good. Summarizing is very good.
Because it's summarizing working just is on very that good. Corpus of information. It's not trying to gather facts from the internet. It's just working on the 45 minutes of text you gave it. I mean, it shot through with name errors, like spelling errors and stuff like that. But basically, if you give it the text of a podcast, it's pretty good,
No, summarizing is brilliant. I actually got the best use I got out of ChatGPT was to help me with a possible legal case. It was brilliant with that. I was like, oh my God. So it has good uses, but not, I think, proper creative uses, because also it's only ever regurgitating things that someone else has said. So if you've got anything really original to say, it's not going to come from ChatGPT. It can't, because it doesn't have the lived experience. But anyway, once again, we could go down this off on a tangent.
Definitely. Okay. I'll just raise this. Steve found an article which maybe explains the whole story a little bit better. It's on TechCrunch, and it's called Automatic Launches AI Writing Tool that aims to make WordPress blogs more readable and succinct. So you can find that. It was published on the 7th of August. Something else that's new, and again, in the realm of AI, see, Segway Central today. What the heck? is a new AI feature by Yoast. It is called Yoast AI Optimize, and it was released just the other day. I haven't had time to delve into it, but I'll just read you their little potted story about it. It says, receive AI-powered suggestions to optimize your existing copy. And I guess that's quite an important sentence, existing copy for SEO in one click. And it says that it the AI-powered suggests edits for your posts and pages. You get flexible results, starting with AI-generated features, then you adjust it to fit your requirements, and so on and so forth. And then there are also some gotchas about the different bits and pieces that it can't do. Yoast AI Optimize, like all other AI features and currently in beta, this means you may experience limitations. But we have Yoast, we have Taco very frequently on the show, and I like to feature the stuff that Yoast as a platform are doing. So anyway, there you go. You can go and check it out if you've got a subscription to them. More AI goodness. And let's just go here quickly. I had a podcast episode with Kyle Van Dusen. He is the person behind the Admin Bar, and I just wanted to raise that. Kyle and I chatted about this, which is a little bit older now, but we managed to surface it just a few weeks ago, and it was a survey that he did with of about 1,144 roughly specifically WordPress freelancers about all the different bits and pieces. So if you're into that kind of content, we've got that for you. And okay, so I don't know if Corey Mass is still in the comments, but if he is, this is intriguing. Michelle put this in our shared show notes, and okay, this is big. I feel big. Michelle, what's going on? This is called IPA, or the Independent Plugin Alliance. By the way, IPA, I don't know if you know, in the UK, IPA stands for like a type of beer, India yes. Pale Ale. And
yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
That is
Tell
not
us what it is. What is the...
Accidental.
That is not it. Okay.
That is not accidental. We did that on purpose. So the idea is, as you know, or you may know, so Corey Mass and Corey Miller started last year developing OMG IMG, which is a plugin to work with Open Graph images and to create your Open Graph images for any blog posts and any images on your website. And as we turn into this year, they brought me on to help with marketing, and we have continued the live podcast, live stream on Tuesdays with me and Corey Mass, talking about ways that a small plugin like OMG IMG could start to build clientele and subscriptions, like smash the button, the kind of stuff, right? So we've been talking about that, and it is not a free plugin. It is just a premium plugin. And Cameron's like, now I'm interested. And Corey says, me too. So what we've been talking over the last few weeks is, wouldn't it be nice if we didn't have to spend a lot of money to try to build? Because when you're first starting out with a plugin, you're pretty much bootstrapping and you're trying to figure out ways for people to start to follow you and learn about what you're doing. But you're not alone in that, because there are lots of other plugin companies that are doing that same idea, that same thing, even if they've been around for a little while, trying to kind of gain ground and build that clientele. So we started talking about, wouldn't it be great if we did something like an end of summer sale, like a WP pool party kind of idea, where I splash water on WS Form and WS Form splashes water, and do this all through social media to try to like kind of boost each other up. And that like comment kind of went from there to, I wonder if we could do something a little more organized. And Corey Mass said, we could build some kind of a directory, but kind of like a craft idea, like craft beer does, right? Like, so you're kind of bootstrapping, you're scrappy, you're trying to get that. And so we started talking about like Pool Party WP and like trying to figure out different ways to have a website that we can start to build a directory. And we leaned into that craft beer IPA kind of thing. And then we started with IPA WP, and then we had to figure out what the IPA stood for. And so we came up with the Independent Plugin Alliance. And we now have 17 entries into, we just launched this last week live while we were building the website on the podcast. And it will look better, we promise. It'll have a better, I made that logo in Canva as we talked. The logo is going to be better. The website's going to be better. It's all going to be better. But we already have 17 plugin companies that are interested in joining and doing some co-opted marketing. so that we can keep things very inexpensive to try to help each other build our clientele and get the word out about what we do. So I said that right. Corey, jump in the comments and say if I missed anything.
Yeah, yeah. I've got some questions around this then. So yeah. I don't know why I read it this way, but for some reason, when I saw that word independent, my head went open. I read that as like open plugin alliance almost. I could have misheard you. Did you say this is the thing that you need to pay for, or is this anybody can be a part of it? Did I mishear that? Sorry.
We're not charging any money for anything. So the idea is, I mean, there may be at some point if we want to co-op, you know, hire somebody on Fiverr to create some images or something like that, that we'd ask people to chip in a little bit. But we are not charging money to join this, and we are not putting affiliate links on here. So if you join this, it's your link to your website, because we don't want anybody to have to lose money to even to each other to move things forward. So the idea is that it's free to join, but we are going to gatekeep a little bit, because we don't want, you know, no offense, Yoast, but you're kind of big and you don't belong in the Independent Plugin Alliance, right? So this is for those scrappy kind of startup craft plugins to help each other boost our viewership.
So will there be any kind of like gatekeeping in terms of, I don't know, the quality, dare I say it, of the plugin or anything like that? Or is it just, you know, come along at the beginning, let's just work all of those kinks out a little bit later? And also kind of allied to that is the idea that you're there to support each other. It's not like, okay, I'm signing up to this new repo, if you like, and I hope to squeeze it for every single thing that it's worth. Is it more kind of like, look, we're here to help each other, you know, we're not going to denigrate each other, we're going to mention each other where we can, and that kind of thing?
Exactly. So what Corey just put in the comment there, if you could pull that up, that'd be great.
Yeah, can do. This one?
Yes.
Yep.
So independent developers and companies really do have more time than money, right? So as you're getting started and you're kind of trying to get the idea out there. So the idea is, how can we, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats kind of thing. And so how can we pool those kinds of resources to work with one another to help get the word out about the good work that we're doing and how our plugins can help our customers? Because we want everybody to make money off of the work that they're doing, just like we talked about with sponsorship, right? You shouldn't have to give away your plugin for free in order for people to learn about it and grow about it. There's other ways to do that. And so if we can kind of shout out about each other, use that time in the way that we use social media and blogging and those kinds of things to talk about one another as well, then that really kind of helps everybody. So if I talk about, you know, I talk about WS Form already because we all know Mark Westgaard's one of my besties, right? But if I start talking about, I'm trying to think like Cameron's plugins and other people's plugins, then I'm helping spread the word about them. And if they're talking about OMG, IMG, then people that I don't have a connection to will start to listen to that as well. So the whole idea is that we can help one another. Andrew Palmer says that's scratching backs, right? You scratch my back, I scratch yours. But the whole idea is that we're doing that publicly so that we can help raise awareness of each other's work.
Okay. So just nicely, there's already a little bit of interest amongst the people watching this. So Cameron says he's interested, which is nice. Andrew Palmer immediately followed up with he's interested, and he's an advocate of all sorts of plugins, if he knew about them. So that's nice. And then you've already got a submission.
Dave, yeah, two submissions in the last 5 minutes.
Okay, there you go. The power of social media, which is not, that's really great. Having an alliance with, so this is Corey, another comment. So Corey is the person in question working with Michelle. Having an alliance with other plugins, indie devs and products also gives us more to talk about as we're all looking for good content. Do you know what's interesting, Michelle? You can probably identify with this. My inbox is fairly full of people who have a plugin, and they are probably extremely good at writing code, but they are not very good at marketing it, or they don't have a budget for it. And so something like this really is like the glue between the wider world and them. And unfortunately, I can't necessarily have all these people on the podcast because I just do one show a week. So having something like this is really nice, because there's a genuine need. People who are expert at coding but don't have the marketing chops, don't have the budget, don't even necessarily really know who their target audience is. They just know they've built something cool and they want the people to use it. This is nice, Michelle. I like it. I think you've found a peg to hang something on here. This is good.
For like more credit. More great ideas. Watch our live stream on Tuesday when tomorrow we probably go through some of these applicants and figure out what our next step is.
Okay.
Sorry, Steve, I cut you off.
Steve, sorry.
Oh, I like the pool party WP name too. You have to keep that and reuse it for something else.
That is fun, right?
Yeah.
And then in the winter we can have snowball fight WP.
Nice. Elliot just says it's a great idea. Superb idea, in fact. This is great. And then Andrew Palmer says, plus there are 2,700 plugins in the repository queue. I wonder if the Vue team were, if they were, we're circling back to that old chestnut. And if the review team were paid, it might be a little bit quicker. To be clear, this is the beginning of an idea, says Corey.
We are still iterating, right?
Yeah, you don't have the meat on the bones here. It's just come and see. Let's see what happens. Okay, so we should say, one more quick one from Corey. Part of the collab is we need ideas. Please, anyone, get in touch. And right, so the URL is sublimely easy to remember. It's got, hang on, IPWP. It's got IPA. Five syllables. Never mind. Oh, IPAWP.
It's
six syllables you've topped out, but only five letters, so it's fine. IPAWP.com.
More syllables than letters.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Okay, and final one.
W, it gets you every time.
I used to have a podcast that promoted plugins with Mike Demo. Ditched it when I sold Elegant Marketplace, as Andrew Palmer. Yeah, I try to do what I can with that, but you can't always do content about plugins and marketing because people are not necessarily interested to hear that week in, week out. But anyway, there you go, ipawp.com. Time is short, so we'll just quickly move on to this last one, which is brought to you courtesy of Steve. But it is a piece on the Rocket.net. Is that right? Yeah, Rocket.net. They're a host, is my understanding. And it's called Rocket.net, Paving the Way for Massive Scale. I'm guessing, is this your host of choice, Steve, or why did this come your way?
No, I was just impressed with the way they've operated in terms of getting launched. They've bootstrapped. I believe the founder is a Florida man too.
Yes.
And regardless of the bigger picture of the company, this particular blog post is just excellently written, gives a lot of background to the company, like specific details of the challenges. Really quite an interesting insight into what it takes to launch a hosting company.
God, and can you imagine the giants and the leviathans that you're up against if you go into this space? Because we always say, aren't they, the deep-pocketed companies in the WordPress space are all the hosting companies. So, if you come up with a form plugin or an SEO plugin, sure enough, you've got some stiff competition. But if you launch into the hosting space, man, Rocket.net, I feel like they've been around for several years now, but definitely not decades. And you've just found this article to be really useful about their journey and how they did all of their bits and pieces. So it's called Rocket.net, Paving the Way for Massive Scale. It will be linked in the show notes tomorrow.
It reads like it's not written by AI. It reads like it's written by a real human who's had some real challenges.
Yeah, nice. Okay. So having that whole challenges that you faced in the narrative, that's always really nice as well, isn't it? Not just admitting we're successful from day one, we're great, but saying we had problems and it didn't work out. Yeah, all of that's really, really nice. So there we go. And that's it. 3:29 p.m. in the UK, 1:29 on the podcast. That's perfect. We've done it. And the comments keep coming. We need to come up with a title. Somebody did suggest one, but I failed to write it down. What did you say earlier? Somebody said one. It's
gone. I did have one. My goodness.
Yeah, it's all right. I'll come
up. Subscribe. That's what I was about.
Let's just call it subscribe.
We could call this Pool Party WP.
Pool Party. pool party. Let's call it that. Pool party subscribe. Subscribe to the pool party. It'll be something along those lines. None of our titles have any context to what is actually in them. And it's kind of interesting because of that. So thank you for all of your comments. I really appreciate it. Thanks, Corey. He's just saying he's thanking us for mentioning it. That's really nice. And yeah, before we go, the slightly humiliating hand wave that we always do. So if you wouldn't mind giving it your best shot with the hand. Oh, look at Peach. She got him in there. I'm trying to maximize the hand there. Perfect. I'll get a screenshot of that and stick it on the post. We will be back next. Ooh, will we be back next week? I think I might have an unexpected holiday, Nick. I don't know. We'll see. I've actually forgotten, but there is going to be a missing episode at some point in August, but maybe it won't be next week. Hopefully we'll be back next week for episode 305. Thank you to co-host Michelle, and thank you to our guests, Steve Burge and Peach and Eri. Really,
a pleasure as ever.
Yeah, anytime. Thank you. You have a nice day, and we will see you next week, hopefully.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.